We're returning now to the Gospel of Luke, having had a little absence for a couple of weeks, and we're in the middle of chapter 17 in these verses from verse 11 through verse 19. Luke reminds us here that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He says that they're passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and that would suggest to us a couple of possibilities. One is that Jesus' journey from Galilee to Jerusalem isn't a straight, direct route. He's not simply going from one place to another in the most direct way possible. It suggests that he's moving around as he makes a general progress towards Jerusalem. In fact, judging from Luke's previous narrative, he seems to have moved physically further away from Jerusalem. Nevertheless, he is on his way to Jerusalem. There's a destination that he has in mind. There's a purpose to this journey, even though it seems to be a meandering one. So that's one possibility. Another possibility is that Luke seems in other places also to arrange his material thematically and not strictly chronologically. In other words, what Luke may be doing here is referring to something that happened prior to what's happened earlier in chapters 16 and 17 and the teaching that Jesus has given to his disciples and the other hearers in those passages. That Luke is arranging his material in such a way that he's drawing out certain themes from the ministry of Jesus, not necessarily presenting those themes in their chronological sequence. And we can't say with any certainty which of these explanations is the right one. Both are equally possible. So we meet with Jesus these 10 lepers. It was an awful condition to have leprosy in Jesus' day. The word that is used to describe these lepers is a generic one. It covers a whole range of skin diseases and conditions. At its worst, it resulted in the flesh literally rotting away as a person lived, and they would lose limbs as a result of this disease taking its course through their body. And here are 10 men who have been separated from society as a result of this highly contagious condition that everyone was fearful of and no one wanted to pick up. The laws of Israel, as we read them in the books of Moses, had strict rules with regard to those who contracted this disease. They were to be separated from society. They were to keep a distance from other people, and as they walked along the road, they were to cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that the people around them would know to move away, lest they should contract this condition. They also were given strict rules on how this condition was to be assessed. It was the responsibility of the priests to confirm that a person had leprosy, and should the leprosy prove not to be an enduring condition, a person might be cleansed from it in some way, then it was the priests who would confirm that this condition had ceased and that the person was then free to move about in society once again. And here then are these 10 pitiful men in this terrible condition. as Jesus makes his way towards Jerusalem in the region of Samaria and Galilee. And it's no wonder then that they cry out to Jesus when they recognize him. They've obviously heard about him. Perhaps they've seen him from a distance in the past. Maybe they've heard about the healing of the leper that Luke writes about earlier in his book. And they've come to think, well, maybe, just maybe, we could also be cleansed from this fearful disease. And so they don't simply cry out as Jesus and his disciples and the crowd come along the road, unclean, unclean, so that they would avoid them. No, they cry out with a loud voice saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. They call his attention to themselves, not so that he can avoid them, but so that he can have mercy upon them. They call his attention to their condition. They're calling him to look at them. Look at us in this fearful state that we're in. Look how we've been alienated from society. Look how we're suffering under this disease. Have mercy on us. And they're crying out to Jesus that he should take notice of them and do some kindness to them. Will they not be treated as he has treated so many others, being moved with compassion for them? Will he not speak words of kindness to them, words of hope to them, words of healing for them? Will he not reach out his hand to them as he had reached out his hand to that other leper and speak peace into his soul and heal them? They're in a pitiful state and they're crying out to the only one that they know might be able to help them in this condition. Over and over again in the New Testament narration of Jesus' life, we have different people in different conditions crying out to Jesus for mercy. There's the blind man. Son of David, have mercy. Oh, the condition of blindness which left a man unable to work, unable to provide for himself, left to beg on the street corners. What a sorry state to be in, not being able to behold the beauty of the world, not being able to do the common tasks of life. He's healed people of various diseases and deformities as they've gone through their lives, carried about by friends to sit at the temple gate and beg. How humiliating a condition it was for these people, and they cried out, have mercy. Have mercy, look upon us with pity. Do something to change our condition. Have mercy on us. But my mind goes to another man. He wasn't blind, and he wasn't a leper. He wasn't diseased, as far as we know. He didn't have any condition that alienated him from society or that prevented him from working. And yet he also cried out, have mercy. Have mercy. And I'm thinking about that man who went into the temple one day, bowed his head and cried out to God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm in this miserable state. Sin has taken control of my life. Oh, the thoughts that run through my mind, such vile and ugly thoughts, and I cannot rein them in, I cannot control them. Oh, such hurtful words spew forth from my mouth. Such cutting words, even to those I love, and I cannot rein them in, I cannot control them. What sin my feet so quickly walk me into. What horrible works my hands are so often engaged in. And it all is spewing up from the polluted well of my heart that produces iniquity after iniquity. Lord God, have mercy on me, a sinner. There is nothing that I can do to rein these passions in, to control them, to stem the flood of ill will and hurtful words and horrible thoughts that keep welling up within me. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's a state that is gradually invading my life and taking over everything. My relationships are marred and spoiled and some even destroyed by this horrible disease that has taken hold of my soul. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And so over and over again in these stories of Jesus, we have people crying out for mercy, mercy towards those who are helpless. Mercy towards those who are living without hope. And Jesus is moved with compassion. Jesus reaches out a hand and he touches the leper and heals him. Jesus applies a salve to the eyes of a blind man and heals him. Jesus lifts up the hand of a little girl and draws her to her feet and raises her from the dead. Jesus speaks words of kindness to a paralyzed man, and all of a sudden he's able to walk. Over and over and over again, Jesus is moved with compassion. When a man cries out in the temple to a holy God and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, Jesus is moved with compassion and he announces that man walked away justified, just as if he'd never sinned, just as if he'd always obeyed. This is the compassion of Christ, a word of hope and a work of healing. Not just in the physical conditions that so many of these men and women and children that he encountered were suffering under. Oh yes, there was healing to be done there. There were words of hope to be spoken into those shattered lives. But far more significantly, Christ's work of healing is a healing of the soul. That sin-sick soul, that diseased soul that produces so much that is vile and hurtful and corrupt in this world. He speaks a word of hope into those broken lives, those diseased lives, and he brings healing to them. He transforms them. He changes them. And so Jesus speaks to these 10 lepers. He doesn't reach out a hand this time. He doesn't speak to them and say, "Be healed." He works in different ways. He works in different situations. He responds in a whole variety of ways with the same end in mind: the good of the person to whom he speaks, the transformation of their lives, the healing of their condition. And on this occasion, he simply says, "Go and show."